Welcome to Bubbles and Books, a podcast about two of the best things in life, books and champagne. Brought to you by Amanda and Ellen, co-owners of your local independent bookstore, Dog Ear Books in Amazon.
First, give me a cheers.
Cheers. And books are sexy.
Welcome to Bubbles and Books. What are we drinking today, Ellen?
We're drinking Rachel's On the Rocks that she had in the fridge that she so generously donated to us.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, well, you know, it is part of Rachel's job to procure champagne for us, and there is no champagne.
I mean, we didn't officially put it in her job duties, but I thought it was like an understood arrangement.
It's an understood arrangement.
So she had to sacrifice her aviation, which, you know, is still on brand for us. We drink cocktails.
But we bought her some Doritos next door to make up for it.
Doritos and a pop.
And a pop. What kind of pop did you get?
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper and Doritos. Worth it.
Yeah, that's the kind of bosses we are.
We're drinking Perks. Aviation on the Rocks, which BTW, we do carry in our store.
Right. We love On the Rocks cocktails. It's as close as you can come to hand shooked cocktail. We're also eating munchies, which I feel like is...
We're not high. It's just a snack.
Yeah, a really good snack.
It's sun chips, pretzels, Doritos, and Cheetos. The perfect combo.
Just the kind of thing you want to see your kid eating on your couch, you know? Yeah. Don't move your hands. Don't touch anything.
I make my kids eat on the floor.
Yeah, I think it's very appropriate.
I'll eat on the couch, but we got a new couch in the fall, and it's like, sit on the floor.
Yeah, don't touch anything. Please, don't exist. Yeah.
Don't touch anything.
All right, that's what we're eating and drinking. What are we reading right now? Ellen, you got some good stuff coming. You're like reading very timely right now. This is like a preview of what's popping this week. So we're just going to give it to you now because it's what Ellen's reading right now.
So as I was preparing for exciting books coming out today, I was like, oh, actually, these are the books I'm reading. So that works out.
Good job. You're such a good bookstore owner.
So the first is a memoir. And it's There's Always This Year on Basketball and Ascension by Hanif Abdurraqib. And he's written collections of essays and stuff before.
He has one that has this really cool wolf on the cover.
Yep.
And in a tracksuit with a chain.
Yes.
Just saying.
You would recognize it probably if you saw it. I'm not remembering the name of that. I haven't read. This is my first book that I've read by him. And I'm actually listening to it because I'm trying to be better about audiobooks. And he's the one who reads it. And it is fabulous. Like, his writing is phenomenal. And it's about him growing up in Columbus, Ohio in the 90s, because he's like probably like our age. And it's very much about, it's about basketball. And I don't know if you played basketball, but
I
like
did.
The 90s
poorly.
Was like sort of this era of basketball.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, there's like the NBA era, you know, we got like Michael Jordan,
yes,
and all of them, but also, LeBron James is from Akron, Ohio.
Yes.
And so when Hanif was in high school, LeBron James was in high school. And so, you know, it's like
he felt
this rising star was not that far.
Right.
And so it was about like neighborhood basketball and, you know, learning basketball from your peers or your family. So the book is sort of like the backdrop is basketball, but it's not a book about basketball.
You know who's going to love this book? It's going to make its best books of the year. Who has great taste in books, loves basketball, and always shares his favorite summer reads, favorite music?
Oh, Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's going to love
this. Oh, Barack Obama.
Barack, I got a specialized recommendation from Dog Eared Books for you.
It's fabulous. And like, I'm in a little bit of a basketball era because my son is, so I have three kids and the older two don't have an athletic bone in their body. Sorry if you're listening to this. They're not. But my youngest is like, he really loves basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will shoot hoops all day long. And it's really fun. When your kid loves something,
right,
it's like fun, you know? I don't know if he's like any good at it. It's too little to tell. He's 7.
He's going to get some legs on him, though. He's got
height.
He'll
be tall. He'll be tall. But I enjoy watching basketball with him.
It's good.
And I enjoy watching him play basketball. And when I was growing up in the 90s, my parents are both from Phoenix, and they loved the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to – and the Phoenix Suns were really good for a while in the 90s. And so this was like the era of Charles Barkley. And so, like, I remember, like, watching the Phoenix Suns, and we would, like, watch NBA games all the time. So I remember this era. And, you know, sort of coinciding with, you know, similar interests that I have now. But anyway, and the Cyclones are probably going to win the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
They did a great job releasing this book during March Madness.
Yeah. So anyway, nice job, publishers. It's about so much more than basketball. It's about family. It's about neighborhoods. It's about place. It's about roots. And it's just fabulously, fabulously written.
So if you love a good original memoir, this one's for you.
Yep. And then the other one is a really fun mystery, and it's called How to Solve Your Own Murder by Kristen Perrin. And I started it last night, and I'm like maybe almost halfway through. Like,
that's so great. I
really loved it. It's really fun.
I have a copy at home. You sell me. Tell me.
Okay. So the premise is 1965. Francis goes. This is in England. Goes to the country fair. She's 17 with her two friends, Emily and Rose, and she goes to see like a fortune teller, and the fortune teller gives her this like a weird ass fucking fortune. That's like, you're going to end up as dry bones, or you're going to find dry bones, and your demise is going to start with a queen in the palm of your hand, and the bird is going to betray you, and it's all going to end in your murder. And Frances is like, what the fuck? And she's upset. Everyone else is like, this is just a fortune teller at a fair. Like, why are you freaking out? But her whole life, you know, it's like, Frances is like, I'm going to get murdered. And who the fuck is going to do this?
She's always felt it.
Yes. Okay. So fast forward, and we have Annie, and Annie gets a letter in the mail one day. She lives with her mom in London. She's in her 20s. She's sort of a struggling writer. She writes mysteries, and it's from a lawyer. And it's like, hey, your great aunt Frances. Frances is now 75. Great aunt Frances wants you to come. And she's going to make you the sole benefactor of her estate. And we're going to have a meeting about it. Hmm. So Annie's like, hey, whatever. I've never met Aunt Frances. Everyone thinks she's crazy because she's obsessed with her own murder. She's always like trying to figure out who's going to murder her. Like, she's crazy. So no one really knows her because she's just nutty. She's just a batty old lady who's obsessed with people murdering her. So Annie rolls into town. She goes to the lawyer's office. And Frances has called and said, I can't come in because my car is broken down. Can you guys just like come out to my mansion? Mm. So they roll up to the mansion and bum, bum, bum.
She's dead?
Frances is dead. She's been murdered after all. So Rachel's reading it now too, and she likes it. It's really fun.
Okay, don't tell me anything more. I'll start reading
that's it. That's kind of about where I am. But it's like this, it's this cast of characters, and also sort of embedded in this is a year after Frances's fortune was read in 1965, one of her friends she was with disappeared and was never found. And so this is like, you know, related. What does it have to do with anything? So there's sort of this like secondary mystery. It's really fun. So I actually made it my staff pick for next month because I think it's going to have wide appeal. What are you reading?
Well, I might be reading How to Solve Your Own Murder because you've really sold me on it. Because I literally had just picked up and read like a sentence of I Cheerfully Refuse by Leif Anger. So
oh, yeah.
Leif Anger wrote Peace Like a River, which was a book my mom turned me on to.
Yes. I remember that book.
I just remember it being beautiful and having a huge impact on me, but it's been long enough that, you know, the details aren't with me. And so when we met Leif in Cincinnati, I picked up a copy of their new book, and I was really excited to start it. It's set in a not too distant America. It's about a bereaved musician who is going to sail Lake Superior in search of his departed, deeply loved bookselling wife. So there's like an interesting premise there, you know. Got to save the booksellers.
Yeah.
And I also love the title. I think I'm going to use this as my catchphrase. I cheerfully refuse.
I'm calling this my year of no. So maybe we just like reframe it. I cheerfully refuse.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'll let you know.
That to my kids. I cheerfully refuse.
Yes. I will let you know next week whether I got very far into I Cheerfully Refuse or whether I read How to Solve Your Own Murder, because that sounds really
It's fun. Enticing. You know, it's like if you just need one of those books, it's just going to like, because I, you know, I've also been, so I'm listening to There's Always This Year, which is fabulous, but it's, you know, it's like heavier stuff. It's mm-hmm. nonfiction. And then I've also been sort of plowing through Demon of Unrest, which I've also talked about on the podcast. So just like, it's nice to have a book that just kind of like, you know, has that pace and it's fun and it's kind of cute, you know?
You know, I will say that while I was gone for spring break, I did read 6 books.
Same, girl.
And I had one of those. I had... This Much and More by Peng Shepherd. So I want to give people the heads up. This would be an excellent one to pre-order from the store. It's about a reality television show in which you can quantum leap to stages in your life where if you had chosen something different, maybe everything would have been different. And there is a primary character who is invited on to the reality television show that allows this technology and is about to reinvent their life. And she goes on one heck of a wild ride. And what is super fascinating about this book is it's a choose your own adventure book. Like you read as a kid.
You were telling me about this.
So you read a couple chapters and then you're faced with turn to page 75 if you choose this. Turn to page 372 if you choose this. So you're skipping all over the book and you have no idea, you know, how much do you have left? How close are you to the end? It was really a fun, thrilling ride. So watch for that one later this year. But topic of conversation, theme to the excellent memoir you're reading is basketball. Sort of.
I mean, we love our Cyclones.
Yes.
So as of the recording of this podcast, we have just won our first game in the tournament.
We're into the second round.
We will play again. Mm-hmm. We'll find out, you know, we'll see where we're at by the time this airs. Okay.
Yeah. But
we have high hopes for our Cyclones.
Right. We, in the spirit of March Madness, we've crafted our own March Fiction Madness bracket.
Yes. And you will get to fill out your bracket and vote.
Right. Because that's how this game will be won.
So see the show notes.
Yeah. See the show notes. We'll be using our social media to make the selections each round. We're starting with the round of 32. So we're in the second round of the bracket. We felt like 64 titles would be a little overwhelming. So we're starting with the round of 32. The contenders are all 2023 published titles because, you know, the basketball season started in 2023. So the book had to be published in 2023. It has to be fiction. But more importantly, how are those titles faring right now in March of 2024?
I'm gonna have all the stats for you.
Right.
Kind of.
We based our construction, our selection of the bracket on these criteria because in basketball, you have your season record, but you also have your performance in your conference. So how you're playing right now at the end of the season is really what determines, you know, you could have had a great start to the season like many of our favorite books did, but if you petered out, if you aren't selling well, if you didn't perform well in March, you might not have made it into the bracket.
You might not have.
So you'll see some books that have been favorites all year long here on this podcast, in our store, among our staff, but you're also going to see some titles that are surprise titles. These are books that are selling really well, maybe out of nowhere right now in March. There might be a title or two you haven't heard of. So we've made a selection of 32.
And we've got some award winners that maybe mm-hmm. not necessarily have been bestsellers, but they've been like sweeping awards.
Right. Like I don't like Purdue, but they were a number one seed. So, okay. You know, there's a little bit of that kind of institutional power that comes from some of these books. So let's start with who our number one seeds were. These were based on their season record, as in sales over time, whether we liked them or not, and also how they're faring right now, live sales data from indie bookstores across the country. The number one overall seed, Ellen.
The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James McBride.
Okay, so this is easy.
Tell us the stats. This is our overall number one pick.
Overall number one pick.
This is what we think might win.
Okay, so
by the way, we're not determining the winner. The winner of the March Madness Dog-Eared Books will be
determined
by the people.
By the people. Whether you love the book, whether you believe in the book, that's what season on to the next round.
Okay, so tell me about Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. Okay, so hit me with the stats.
The stats are it's the number one best-selling fiction title across indie bookstores right now as we speak. It's also a Dog-Eared Books favorite. Everyone on staff who read it loved it. It was one of their best of the year. It is currently on our best-selling table, and it had bestsellers table, and it has been for some time. And over time, we sold 148 copies. This is a huge number. And what's kind of cool is it represents what we're calling the Historical Fiction Conference, the HFC, if you will.
HFC!
The HFC doesn't have a huge representation in our bracket, but this title is at the top.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, the next one shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. It's Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. Okay, this is like the hands down popularity contest winner. This is like the Kardashians of celebrity books, okay? It made a huge splash with its sprayed and stenciled edges in May, and it kind of reinvented the physical form of the book because since that book came out, now all the publishers are jumping on the bandwagon, coming out with colored sprayed edges. We had one recently that had like glitter sprayed edges, patterns, stencils. It just reinvented everything. It was like the Divergent, the Twilight, the Runaway, crazy bestseller.
Which we are actually kind of a fan of this because we would love if books would come out simultaneously in hardcover and paperback because hardcovers are a lot more expensive than paperback. But it's nice to see that if a hardcover is going to be released, that there's actually something really extra special about
it. It's kind of going back to the gilded edges of books, yeah. You know, where you had to like, they were uncut edges. You had to use like a book cutter to slice the pages. And, you know, it had embossed covers, leather bound. I mean, we might as well go back to the olden days.
Yeah. So it's definitely, and we're seeing it like in our ordering all the time, you know, because we just finished ordering for the summer season. And, you know, this is definitely like a thing that is happening.
Yeah, this would be like the basketball team that first went from wearing the short shorts in the 80s. And they were like, no, we're going to wear knee length shorts. That is like what kind of book this
is. And you know what? That is talked about in that book I'm reading.
Really?
There's always this here. Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool. Right now, it's ranking fourth in sales across all indie bookstores. It's on our bestseller table and hasn't left, I don't think, since it was published. The only time it left maybe would have been when we had it out of stock.
Yeah.
We've sold between the original edition and the additional edition that came out with bonus content, 345 copies. and it's representing the Sci-Fi Fantasy Conference.
Nice.
Okay, tell me about this next one.
Well, I haven't read this next
one. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you about this.
But I did select it for the Dog-Eared Books official book club, so we will be reading it, which is why I have not read it yet.
Okay, Northwoods by Daniel Mason just edged out the Booker Prize winner, The Prophet Song, for the number one seed. It was between the two of them. It was kind of like Iowa State and Houston, okay?
So you're saying Northwoods is Houston?
Yes. Okay. Northwoods is Houston. I don't know how I feel about that. Ooh, it makes me a little squirmy because I want Iowa State to. So Prophet Song maybe should have gotten it. I don't know. But Northwoods has had this huge, strong surge in performance in the last month. There was buzzy talk about it. It's very literary writing. It has kind of this blend of like nature writing, fiction, historical writing. It's cross-genre appeal. Anyone who's read it has found it interesting and appreciated it.
Yeah, I have not met a person who read that book and did not really enjoy it.
So it jumped onto our bestseller table. It has a really beautiful cover. That's why I picked it up. I love this kind of like oil painting cover.
Yeah.
It's of a leopard. Is it a leopard?
Some sort of wildcat.
Feline. Yeah.
Some feline.
A mountain lion. It's a mountain lion. It's a mountain lion.
It's a puma.
Yeah, it's a mountain lion. So Northwoods has had a quiet start, but a big, strong finish, like conference winning performance. And then next up is like an institutional author, Tom Lake by Ann Patchett.
Yeah. So you're comparing this to like UConn.
Right. You're just always good. Like if Ann puts out a book, it's good. You're never going to have a bad season.
She's making it to the tournament every time.
Yeah.
You know,
she's currently in seventh place for sales across all indie bookstores, but she's held steady the entire time.
Okay.
Anne is a staff favorite author. The book is a staff favorite. She's just someone who always comes through, and she's representing the tried and true, you know, literary contemporary fiction conference, as well as Northwoods. Both of them represent that conference. So those are like the clear, you know,
those are our number one picks.
Okay. Yeah. But then there were a few surprises. There's always a few people who come into the conference you've never heard of. You're like, where the hell is that? I have no idea who they are. How did they make it? So some of those in the NCAA bracket were like Wagner, Long Beach State. I assume that's California. Grambling. Where's that? Don't know. But they won. So I have a few unknowns or surprises that made the list. The first one, I asked you, have you heard of this one, Ellen? Okay. I had to look up if we had it in the store. It's The Will of the Many by James Islington? Yeah, Islington?
It was a Haley staff pick. Haley loved it.
Well, apparently I'm out of the loop because we have a staff member who loved it and is picking it as their staff pick. It is from the action, adventure, epic fantasy realm. So sci-fi fantasy conference. It's the first in a new series. It's called the Hierarchy series. It's put out by Saga Press. Don't even know the press. It debuted in May, but it's picking up steam across the country. Like, it's really up there. It was in the top sales. I found this on an indie bestseller list recently and had to make sure we had it in stock. So had you heard of it?
I had not heard of it.
Yeah.
But anyway. I've heard of it now.
So anyway, real action adventure. The next one that was a surprise for me, we know this author, Claire Keegan. It's So Late in the Day. And why is it surprising? It's a short stories collection.
Yeah, it's the only representative from the short stories conference.
The SSC. They finally got someone into the tournament.
Thank God.
But it is arriving right in the middle of popularity and sales, with some, I mean, this debuted, you know, a little like in the fall, and it's just held steady. People are really enjoying this Booker Prize finalist Irish author. Like,
Irish authors are having a moment.
I think they've just always,
maybe,
like,
they've always had a moment.
Sally Rooney, you know, people like,
there's something about it.
Maybe there's just so much Irish ancestry. It's calling back to us from our potato days. This is a set of three stories about love, lust, betrayal, and it has a lot of weird interchanges between men and women.
Yeah, when I was reading about this book, it sounded really interesting, because it was a lot about sort of the what gets lost in translation between men and women.
Oh my God, everything.
Because we understand the world maybe differently.
Okay, in addition to the top and the surprise, we have a few dog-eared favorites that we, as the selection committee, may have had an influence on getting them into the tournament. There's always that question. People are like, why didn't this team get picked? Or how did this one get in? Well, there is a selection committee.
It's bias.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, and we're in charge, and so...
Yeah, it's our fucking bookstore.
Okay, so who made it into the tournament with a little extra help from the friends?
I bet anybody who has ever listened to this podcast will know exactly which two books made it into the bracket.
American Mermaid by Julia Langbein. Now, I'm not gonna apologize for this because
it deserves to be there.
I saw another bookstore bracket, Bookstore Magic in New York, put American Mermaid on their bracket, because you know what? When we believe
fucking good.
When we believe in a book, we want to see it all the way through. We are going to cheerlead that team all the way to the end. So American Mermaid, y'all know about it, but it is about a woman, Penelope, who has written a best-selling book that blew out of nowhere because of social media influence, about a young girl who has been paralyzed all her life from the waist down, but then discovers during an attempted suicide that she is actually a mermaid and that she was transformed as a young baby into human form by her evil scientist father. And and she wants to live her mermaid life now. The author, Penelope, is having her book turned into a movie because it's gone gangbusters. This is, you know, awesome. And she starts to be concerned because Hollywood is turning it into this, like, boobalicious, like, action adventure flick rather than the true feminist coming of age story that it is. And the author begins to suspect that the real life or the mermaid of her book is reaching through into real life to take revenge on her, the author, and the studio bros for their manipulation of the story. So that's American Mermaid, genius, hilarious, feminist, smart, amazing, everything. Believe in this one.
And we have Chain Gang All-Stars by Nana Kwame Adjei-Brenya, which is an examination of prison systems in the country, but it takes place, it's speculative fiction, not so distant future. And basically, prisoners are fighting death matches in order to earn freedom. And it's just a really phenomenally written, such rich characters, and it will move you profoundly to think about abolition, to think about what justice actually means.
It's life-changing.
It is.
We love Nana Kwame. All right. I think you need a refill.
I think you need a refill.
You need a refill. Do you not want a refill?
I can do a little.
Next up in our analysis of the March Fiction Madness bracket would be the representation of the various conferences. Now, as Big 12 fans, Iowa State fans, we're very proud to see that the Big 12 is dominating the NCAA bracket. The SEC is also always a strong contender. What conferences made it big in March Fiction Madness bracket?
Well, contemporary and literary fiction, or the CFL, dominates our bracket with 14 books. And so some of our favorites from the conference that are on our bracket are My Prophet Song by Paul Lynch, another one of those Irish authors,
mm-hmm.
who won the Booker Prize. I think it is another one of those sort of life-changing, forces you to examine the world in front of you. It is very uncomfortable. Like, it's basically about Ireland descending into a fascist state, and it hits very close to home. and it's about, you know, like how the world around you can change and in ways that are gradual. And before you know it, everything's fucked up. And you think about all the different things that are happening in the world right now. It's something that repeats. It has happened over and over and over again throughout history, and it will happen over and over and over again. And it's like, when will it come for you? You know?
Yeah.
Absolution by Alice McDermott, which is Vietnam War era, pre-Vietnam War era, women in Saigon, sort of an examination of one's moral obligation in the world.
Two that I was happy to see make the list were Hello Beautiful by Ann Napolitano, who was an Oprah book pick, beautiful cover, slightly influenced, well, pretty strongly influenced by Little Women. It's not a retelling of Little Women, but it is the story of four sisters, their complicated relationships over a lifetime, as well as a young man who is named William in this case instead of Lori, who comes into their lives, and how the family transitions over time, relationships, their love for one another, their self-evolution as individuals. And then also Wellness by Nathan Hill, which takes place in Chicago. It's the story of a marriage, a psychologist wife and her husband raising a child, trying to do the best that they can. So it's this idea of like wellness culture, like always trying to do the best and realizing like you can read all the books and know all the psychology and you can still struggle to raise a kid.
Yep.
And you can still struggle to keep a marriage happy. So it's a really smart book and cool that it takes place in the Midwest in Chicago. Really fun story. Right up there with the CFL is the SFF, the Sci-Fi Fantasy Conference. It comes in second with 8 books represented. It should come as no surprise because Fourth Wing and Iron Flame both made it into the conference. It's kind of like an Iowa State presence. Both the first in the series and the sequel both made it in the conference. We also have representation with 2 books from the author Brandon Sanderson. Brandy Sandy has these secret project books that he's been putting out. The first was Tress of the Emerald Sea and then Yumi and the Nightmare Painter. And I believe we have another one due this year. And then historical fiction, we mentioned, has The Front Runner, The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. But we also have Frozen River, a historical fiction story, I think based in the 1700s, about a midwife that's based on a true story. Everyone loves a based on a true story.
Yeah, this is also one I've chosen for book club at the store. So I haven't read it yet because I want to read it a little bit closer too. But I keep hearing cool things about it. And the premise is really fascinating to me. And I will be honest, like, I'm not a huge historical fiction reader. But this one is like, has very much piqued my interest.
So before we turn the brackets over to you guys to vote on who you see or will get to the final round, you and I have each filled out our brackets. We're not going to go through all of our picks. Why don't you tell me, who did you have in the final four?
In the final four, so I base this on not just my personal taste, like what I prefer. Mm-hmm. It's like who I thought would win.
Okay.
So I'm basing it on popularity, sales, but also my personal taste.
That's very fair. And I'm very impressed by you. Like, I mean, yours is the bracket to pay attention to then.
Maybe. So my final four were The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store, mm-hmm. Fourth Wing, mm-hmm. The Bee Sting, mm-hmm. and Prophet Song. What were yours?
Okay. So I'm very impressed by you. I can only vote from my heart. Like, I literally can't bring
and
myself.
I'm very impressed by you because you lead with your heart, and I'm a frigid bitch.
Yeah.
That Rachel, you are. Rachel's like, that tracks.
Your words, not mine. So mine is partially based on what I think will win, but I cannot not vote mine in. Like, we have people on staff who filled out their NCAA bracket, and they all have Iowa State winning the big dance.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, because I love Iowa State.
My final four.
But also because I think they could win. Yeah.
I believe it too. If there was ever a year, this is the year.
This is the year.
But we're Cyclone fans, so we have to be prepared.
I know. For disappointment. Yeah, last night there was a moment there where I was like, ugh.
But the post-game analysis at the store was that they were holding back intentionally, okay? That's okay. What the booksellers have to say.
Okay.
All right, my final four is Frozen River, Chain Gang All-Stars, Northwoods, and American Mermaid.
Wow, we didn't have any of the same ones.
No. Okay, now.
So who did you choose as your overall?
You know, Julia's got my heart.
American Mermaid.
American Mermaid.
I chose Prophet Song.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I mean, you've read it.
And I will say, I don't know that it was my favorite book of all the books in the bracket. Like, there are definitely some contenders in there for me. American Mermaid would be one of them, mm-hmm. To be my favorite. But I don't know. When I had to break it down that way, that's how it went for me.
No, if I had to bet, like, my entire life savings, I would probably put it on Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. But like, if I'm filling out the bracket, I'm going to fill it out for what I want to happen.
I like that for you. Yeah. I love that for you. Yeah. Okay. So friends, fill out your bracket. So we will have, Rachel, will we have like a printable version? How will people share their brackets with us?
We're going to share the bracket on social media so that you can print it out and make your choices. But then round by round, we'll be asking you to vote. And we'll be updating the bracket as we move from 32 to 16 to 8, Final Four, and the Big Dance.
Yep. And we will also be doing this in store, too, with our customers.
Right. We'll have brackets for you to pick up and fill out in store.
And Rachel's really excited about putting
this together.
She's so
excited.
She's like, I'm going to spearhead this motherfucker. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, she's really into it. It's going to be her best work ever.
She's so into it right now. Look at her face. Ray Ray all day.
All right.
Okay, so actually there is one more book I want to talk about that is coming out. I did talk about coming
Remind
out
the
today.
People. Yeah.
There's Always This Year by Hanif Abdurraqib and How to Solve Your Own Murder by Kristen Perrin. But
that's what's
we also
poppin'.
Have another big one coming out today. Mm-hmm. Everyone is Watching by Heather Gudenkauf. She's going to be joining us in a couple of weeks, in a few weeks. And I read this one, and it's actually her first mystery that does not take place in Iowa.
What?
There is Iowa representation in here, okay?
Where does it take place?
It takes place, like, in California.
Ooh.
Wine country.
Ooh.
It's a reality television show. It's called, I think it's called, like, The Lucky Winner or something, or The Lucky One or something. I can't remember what the name of the reality show is. I read it. And it is, there's only 5 contestants, and they've each been selected, and the prize is $10 million.
Woo!
And they come from different walks of life. One of them is a mom from Iowa.
Nice.
And they show up and it's held at this like beautiful wine, like it's wine estate winery. And the person who owns it is a mystery. No one like really knows who's behind this production. And they are put through this series of like really grueling, pretty fucked up challenges. And it starts to become apparent that there's maybe more to this reality show than just a competition. And that maybe each of these people, each of these five contestants has been brought here for a specific reason.
Ooh, scary.
So, yeah, it's really good. And Heather will be joining us. And it is out in it's a paperback release, which is awesome.
Right.
So come pick up your copy or get a ticket for the event. I think we still have a few left, but we are about sold out.
Keep the champagne or aviations flowing and the books going.
Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And for more Dog-Eared Books hijinks, follow us on Instagram @DogEaredBooksAmes or on TikTok @DogEaredBooks.